You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
Good afternoon, everyone. Now, we started a series entitled Truth Be Told. Pastor Joey started the series last week talking about the parables, and this will be an 8-week series. What we wanted to achieve is look at the different parables that Jesus taught, the truths about the kingdom of God and the truths about life and about heaven and about future things told in earthly, through our earthly stories. And Jesus is such a master storyteller that he's able to take a truth from the word and from the kingdom and then bring it to application to daily life. And so I do want to start off by asking this question, because today what we're going to talk about is really the kingdom of God. And Jesus talked about the like a mustard seed, and the kingdom of God is like leaven, that leavens the whole lump. But to start off, I want to ask this question, that if the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, why do we still live in a broken world? That this question is asked of us today because as we say, okay, the kingdom of is advancing and we're continuously preaching the gospel and we are in, you know, 74 nations, 58 made it to the World Conference, but really we are in 74 nations around the globe. And of course, we're not the only ministry that's actually reaching out to the different nations of the world. It seems to be advancing, but we still live in a broken world. You look at what happens in Haiti a couple weeks ago, or maybe just the peace process stalling in Colombia. And over, whether that's outside our nation or within the nation, you think about why has this not affected our daily life so far? If the kingdom of God is advancing, why do we still live in a broken world? You think about even in your personal lives. In our personal lives, we try our very best to keep integrity at work and yet get bypassed for a promotion by somebody who doesn't even keep character or integrity. Or you think about, you know, you're in school and you do your very best to not look over somebody else's paper, even though your grades are badly needing resurrection from the dead. But yet, somebody gets better grades than you. Or you try to remain faithful as a wife, and yet your husband cheats on you. And just over and over, you think about, yes, that's happening outside the nation, but even in your own home, this is happening. What do we do? Why is this not happening where we're at? And so Luke chapter 13, verse 18 to 21, that's where we will be today. Now, I need us to stand on our feet, I could ask you to rise, and we're going to stand and in honor of God's word. We're going to read together, and if I can ask you to actually read scripture with us aloud, okay? Let's do this, let's do something different. We'll read it together. Ready, get set, go. He said, therefore, thank you. Lord, thank you for your word. We are grateful because, Lord, your word gives us insight to life. Lord, it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And it's like a double-edged sword that speaks and pierces our hearts. And so, Father, I pray that, Lord, as your word is preached, Lord, let it not just be informational, but transformational. Lord, let us get some truth from Scripture today. I pray that it will be relevant, it'll be applicable, it'll be practical. So that when we leave today, Lord, there are stuff for us to be able to take away, to take home, so that we can apply it right away. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may go and have a seat. Thank you. Jesus, in the parable that he gives, actually it's a twofold type of parable. He talks about the leaven and he talks about the mustard seed. And he talks about the kingdom of God. And I want to explain, at least in a bigger perspective and a macro perspective, before we get into these two parables, because he talks about the kingdom of God. And I want to ask and pertain to this question, what is the kingdom of God? Now, in the Old Testament, when God set up his nation through Abraham, and you've heard of the story in Genesis chapter 12 where he started a nation through one man, and it grew and, you know, became the 12 tribes of Israel, became a nation. And that moment, God was king. He is king. In fact, there was no monarchy. It was a theocracy, meaning God was the one who was in charge. And wouldn't that be pretty cool to actually get executive orders and legislative orders from the king himself, God himself? However, through the years, the nation of Israel looked around, and there were the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Gigabites, and the Terabites, okay? And all of these guys were around the different nations around surrounding them, and they were looking, said, we want to be like these guys. They are, you know, they have a human king. Can we not be like them? And, you know, Samuel felt rejected. God, they're rejecting me. And God said, well, they're not rejecting you. It is I that they're rejecting as king. And so he says, guys, if you want a human king, these are the repercussions. There are disadvantages to having human kings. And in spite of what God told the nation of Israel, they said, we still want to be like these guys. And so God gave them a human king in the name of Saul. In fact, if you remember, Saul was, you know, a head taller than everyone else. And how many of you know when we push our will, sometimes the Lord just allows us to suffer the consequences of our own decisions. And if we try to do it our way, he will allow us. And so he did. He allowed the nation of Israel to go through with a human king. And so that line started of the monarchy. Saul, and then David, and then Solomon. And all throughout, towards the end, the Boam boys, the Rehoboam and Jeroboam, okay? And so those guys, there was a lineage of the monarchy. Now, in 586 BC, and again, I need you to hang with me, okay? I'm trying to lay out this history plan. And so in 586 BC, the nation of Israel fell in the hands of the Babylonians. Because of what happened, because of sin and rebellion, because of idolatry, because of disobedience to God's word, there were consequences. How many of you know there are consequences to our actions? And you today, maybe you're going through a situation and, you know, you can blame everyone else, but you know the reason why you are in the situation or in a mess that you're in. And so they were in a bind. They were in a mess. And so, but because of the disobedience, and so they fell into the hands of the Babylonian Empire. So now everybody's asking, is God still ruler? Is God still sovereign? Is God still king? And so Isaiah writes a prophetic word, and he says, one day this king will come back to reestablish his kingdom. You will have a kingdom again. And so in their mind, it was a physical kingdom, and yes, it is going to be a physical kingdom. So Isaiah says, watch out. In fact, there's going to be somebody who will come, who will bring the good news. How blessed and how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, he says in Isaiah, which is repeated later on in Romans. All right, and so he says, you know, what is the good news? Good news is God will reestablish his kingdom, and a king will come. And you know, throughout history, there are mythologies and novels and movies, the return of the king or King Arthur, just somehow creation awaits the coming of a king that will restore the universe and peace and bring order to the world. And you could almost sense the excitement when the angelic announcement happened to the shepherds, to Mary and Joseph. It's like these things, God has been so silent for 400 plus years. After all the Old Testament, there were in-betweener years between the new and the old and the new. And the New Testament comes and God speaks and God shows up through angelic visitations. In fact, when Jesus was born, Simeon was in the temple and saw baby Jesus, and he just screamed and shouted, and he was so excited. He said, I can die now, for my eyes have seen the salvation. The light for the Gentiles has come. And so Jesus has come. And so now, in spite and in the middle of all of this, Herod on the side, of course, as you've read through in the New Testament, was kind of ruffled. Why? Because he was threatened that a kingdom was going to come. Because the Jewish were talking about the kingdom that was about to come. And so he had all the firstborn killed. In fact, Pilate later on asked Jesus himself, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." And so Jesus came. And in fact, you remember the first message he preached in Mark? He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is here." And of course, you look around and they were all looking, wait, the kingdom? It's not yet here. Well, the kingdom is here because the king is here. I am the king. So he stepped foot on earth. All right? So now he's establishing the kingdom. And now, when Jesus started to do his ministry, of course, he did all these signs and wonders, establishing that he is both human and divine. That he was God and he was human at the same time. 100% God, 100% man. He created and did signs and wonders. And when he was feeding the 5,000, if you remember, everyone wanted to make him king. John chapter 6 says, perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king. So they were so excited. Jesus, are you this Messiah, this Christ, the anointed one, the one that was to come so that the kingdom of Israel will be established again, so we can overthrow the Roman government. We don't need to be slaves to the Roman government anymore. This was where they were coming from. And so they were saying, Jesus, are you our king? Can we make you king now? To be like the military leader that David was. They wanted to put a robe around him. They wanted to put a crown on his head. They wanted to give him a scepter and exalt him on a throne. Yes, he had a crown, but it was a crown of thorns. Yes, he had a robe, but it was a dirty cloth. And yes, he was exalted, but not exalted on the throne, but exalted on the cross. And that's why it fulfilled the messianic prophecy that Isaiah said, "How beautiful are the feet that bring good news." This was the prophetic word, and this was what Jesus fulfilled. And you know, of course, everybody else after he was put on the cross, is this really our king? He cannot be our king, because this, it seemed like a dismal failure, his mission was, and it seemed like a colossal disaster, because this is not a king. A king should be on a throne, not on a cross. He looks powerless, weak, obscure, despised, defeated. This cannot be our king. And so, he, because of what was about to come, he starts to give this parables. Again, a lead in to what we're going to talk about today. Because the things that he was going to go through, he wanted to prepare the disciples. And later on, they realized, okay, this is why he said what he said. Now, what is the kingdom of God like? Okay, there are two facets I want to talk to you about the kingdom, specifically because of those two parables that Jesus gave. You're going to have to understand, when you read a parable, you cannot over-allegorize a parable. Meaning, you cannot read into it too much. Like, for example, you know, the mustard tree with the branches, and maybe there are 12 branches for the 12 tribes of Israel, and the leaves are the evil one when there's a bad... You know, you can't over-allegorize it. But usually when Jesus gives a parable, it's usually for one specific illustration or purpose. And so, the first one, he talks about the mustard seed. And we want to talk about the external expansion of the kingdom of God. And then the second one, he talks about the leaven, which is the internal transformation. That facet of the kingdom that he wanted to teach on. So he says it's like a mustard seed. Tiny as it may be, it can actually grow into a bush that is 20 feet tall, as much as 20 feet tall, and 20 feet in diameter. It can be huge, and it is a plant that, it's not a tree, but really a plant, a bush, that grows this tall and this big, where, you know, nests, or birds can build their nest and perch on it. And so, you know, some critics would say, well, wait, hang on a second, you know, because these are not really, it's not really the smallest seed, actually. Did you know that's not the smallest seed? They would say, you know, it's not the smallest seed. Well, looking at it with a bit more investigation, you will notice that Jesus used the word seed that meant seed that was planted in a garden, sowed agriculturally. Okay, so which he meant the others that are smaller are in the wild, but the ones that he was pertaining to was these kinds of seeds that were planted in gardens and in agricultural lands. And this would be the mustard seed. Now, when you talk about the mustard seed, he says, it's like, you know, the grain of the mustard seed that a man took and sowed into his garden, and it grew and it became a tree. The external expansion, this facet of the kingdom. And so he's saying that you will see and you will hear that the kingdom is here and it's present but may not necessarily seem evident at the moment. It's growing, it's already here, but it's slowly permeating. Okay, it's slowly expanding. I think about our work, ongoing work in Pakistan. A man goes with his family there to start our work there. You know, together with three other single people. And what started as six people has now grown to about 104 in a couple of years. All locals. And just how the expansive work of the kingdom all over the nation of Pakistan. I think about years ago in 1984 when we started here. Okay, Pastor Steve in the blue shirt right there. Okay, a head full of hair still. Okay, and so it's just a lot of young people. These were college students. Again, in 1984, such a small group of people and yet has grown to where we are today. These are some of our pastors. Some of our pastors now. Okay, our senior pastor in Metro East, Pastor Mark. Pastor Ferdy, who's our Metro Manila director. And then on the extreme right, our pastor in Michigan, Pastor Joel. And so just, they were young people and students then, and yet now has expanded the work of the kingdom throughout the different nations, in this nation and different nations of the world. And again, some more throwback pictures. And you think about these students who had this banner, change the world. Change the campus, change the world. The audacity to even claim we will be able to change the world. It's like the audacity to even claim we can change the world. But we can because the gospel of the kingdom is spreading. Amen. A few weeks ago, we started a few small groups. You know, we've mentioned this in the past. When we planted the church here in Fort Bonifacio, we were one of the first buildings. And so everyone who attended Victory Fort were actually from outside Victory Fort. And many of you are actually, you don't live in Victory Fort. There's about 5-10% of you that live in Victory Fort. But now, BGC, not in Victory. You don't live here in this building, okay? But in BGC. And so a few weeks ago, we started. Because, you know, since then, as I said, the residents have grown. 30,000 people now live in BGC with all these buildings and condominiums that are being built. And so we've started a few groups now. Residents, people from BGC. And so we wanted to, it's now no longer just Bonifacio Global City, it's bringing the gospel to the city. And so we wanted to be able to reach the community that we're in, the reason why we're here. And it seems small. We have what, few small groups? 3 or 4, and it seems so insignificant, right? But how many of you know that's the nature of the kingdom? You start small. Despise not the day of small beginnings. Small, and it'll grow big, and it'll permeate. And one day, we're going to see thousands of people come to church from BGC, amen? That's what's going to happen. Watch out, okay? And so, whether that's in BGC or even the nations of the world, we are in 74 nations. And just seeing people come. And you know, 74 nations, that seems a lot. But there's 190-something nations all over the world. So our work is cut out for us. There's still a lot of work to be done. Even in this nation, it may seem like God has given us growth, but we are far from over. Somebody say amen. You have family members. You have classmates. You have people that you want to bring to Christ. Office mates. You're a wonderful boss, right? And you want to be able to bring them to Jesus as well. Okay? Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Okay, the Bible says this is what's going to happen when the gospel of the kingdom continues to spread. When the kingdom of God spreads, the kingdom of the world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. The one day that the kingdom of God, as it spreads, it'll be revealed to you and to me. You know, there was a story that was told in one of the reports in the World Conference, I believe, that there was a village that they wanted to penetrate with the gospel. And they wanted to preach the word there. And so in this particular tribe, somehow every 2 weeks there was someone that was getting eaten by a crocodile. And every 2 weeks, they realized that the tribe worships the crocodiles as their god and would invoke justice through the crocodiles. And that's why if somebody, you know, did something wrong, somehow were eaten by a crocodile. And so every 2 weeks this would happen. And so now the missionaries started to come in this tribe in Africa, and then started to preach the gospel. And how many of you know when the gospel comes in, miracles happen? And so miracles started to happen. You know what happened? The crocodiles became Christians. No, I'm kidding, of course. I'm just checking if you're listening. The people in the tribe started to give their life to Christ, and they started to hear the word, and it started internal transformation. And from one person to the next, until the whole tribe now comes to Christ. Amen? External expansion, and yet there's internal transformation. He says, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It's like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour. When you say 3 measures, that's about 60 pounds of flour. That's a lot. That could feed about 100 people. Those days, communities would live in insulas, families, meaning they're connected to one another. One family unit starts, and then they, as their kids get married, and they just build the community. And so, you know, they would bake bread, and they would feed the community, their clan, their family. Today, we're not so used to baking bread. We just buy in Pande Manila or your neighborhood bakery. But what Jesus was trying to say here, small amount of yeast, it works itself out through the dough until it permeates the whole dough. You know, a bread that you see, it's just a little tiny yeast that it needs to actually have that. Microscopic yeast. And that's what the scriptures tell us. From the 12 disciples, became 70, and then 120 in the upper room, and then a 500, he shows up to the 500, and then it just continued to grow, multiplied over and over again, and exponentially growing. All right? And you see, when the kingdom of God spreads, it's initially small. It starts very small in your family, in your community. It may be just one person, and then two, and then three. And then internally influential. In other words, it starts from the inside. And from what happens on the inside, it now eventually shows up on the outside, and you become a change agent where God has placed you. And that's why we, you and I, you know, continue to believe God. Lord, don't just, you know, use us in our homes, uses wherever you've placed us. God's given you platforms. In fact, you're more effective than a pastor like me. When you go to business, when you go to your office place, when you go to the campus, when I go to the campus, they'll think I'm a professor, okay, or a dean, okay. I'm an old guy. But when you, as a young person, go into the campus, they will relate to you. You can connect with them. If you are in the business or in whatever field that you're in. Media, showbiz. I quit showbiz a long time ago, okay? Initially small, internally influential, and expansively comprehensive. In other words, little yeast will work itself out into the whole dough. That's the nature of the kingdom. It'll start small, but it's going to grow. You have to see with the eyes of faith. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. This is Christian Kayabyab. Christian was saved in our ministry work, campus ministry work in Enderon Colleges here in McKinley. And Christian, his class, or schoolmate rather, shared the gospel to him. And you know, he was one, he would tell you this, he was one who, you know, was wasted a lot because of alcohol. You know, he would jump from relationship to relationship. He had a lot of insecurities and just built this security among friendships and tried to get that. And of course, frustration after frustration would happen. Until somebody shared the gospel to him. And he just, that seed of the gospel started to spread. And now he didn't just want to keep it and contain it from him within himself. He started to share it with his sister. He talked to his sister and said, you know, this is what God's doing in my life. This is what God changed in me. In fact, his parents started to see changes in him. What happened with you? You started becoming obedient to me. And so so now he shares the gospel to his sister, and his sister went, you know, gave her life to Christ and actually went through Victory Weekend last month, if I'm not mistaken. And then recently, Kian, our campus missionary, invited Christian when Kian preached in a church outside Manila, I believe in Laguna. And he preached on a youth service and started talking about Christ. And in fact, invited Christian to share his testimony. And Christian has been praying for his parents and believing God for, you know, not just the gospel from him, but also his sister. And then now spreading to his family members. Lo and behold, his parents actually show up in church. And he shares his testimony in front of his parents. And his parents, at the end of the service, when an altar call was given, they gave their life to Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Amen. So you see that small seed of the gospel. And then it spreads to his sister and then now to the family. You know what the dad said? Christian, you need to preach this to your cousins and your titos and titas. Okay? And so it's going to spread. It's going to spread. Going back to my first question, if the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, why do we still live in a broken world? Let me tell you, it's not going to stay broken for long, because the kingdom of God is going to continue to spread. And you know what? He's going to establish his kingdom. One day you're going to see, when the heaven, the new heaven and the new earth come together, you're going to realize, with kind of like Elisha, when he saw the chariots of fire and the armies of God, somehow his spiritual eyes were open. Okay, I'm not alone. And you'll realize one day, this, you know, the kingdom of God has advanced. And today, when you go out, you will not know who's a Christian or not. In other words, when you're just walking on the street, you won't know that this person is a co-regent in Christ. You go to Denny's and you eat, you know, that grand slam and bacon and pancake with chocolate chip cookies and lunchtime, okay? It's just, you won't know who's sitting there who's a co-regent in Christ unless you talk to them and you get to know them more. But you see, one day it's going to be revealed. Romans chapter 8, the world and the creation, the glorious manifestation of the children of God will yet be revealed. And we're going to see that the kingdom of God has spread and it'll continue to do so. As we end today, let me give you three takeaways. Number one, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. You may be in a campus or in a situation today, you're at home, you're in the office, and you're doing your very best to talk about Jesus, or even to start a meeting, a board meeting with prayer, and you get ridiculed for praying, right? You get called pastor, or get all ridiculed now, and you have a Bible with you, and you know, Mr. Self-Righteous, despise not the day of small beginnings, because the very people that persecute you, you'll never know, may be the very people that will come to you because they know you have a relationship with God. Despise not the day of small beginnings. What else? Trust God even if you don't see immediate results. Even if you don't see immediate results. You know, one of the stories that were given at the conference was a missionary family that went to northern India. And this family went to northern India to preach the gospel to a village. But one day, a gang or a group of guys barges in their house and really just beats the man up, the missionary, the guy, the husband, the father. Beats him up and says, stop preaching this God that you talk about, this Jesus that you talk about. Stop talking about him. Stop preaching. And so he gets beaten up, and in front of his wife and baby, 9-year-old, 9-month-old baby, and says to the husband, if you do not stop preaching, and if you don't recant Jesus now, all right, we're going to rape your wife in front of you. Okay? And you know, you hear these stories and you think it's during the Crusades in 1100s, or even during communist era in the 70s. This is 21st century story. And so the guy says, and the wife on the other side of the room says, no, don't recant Jesus, and don't, you know, renounce Christ, and you know, we will keep preaching the gospel. And the horrible thing happens. Whatever the guys did to the girl, to the woman, raped her in front of the husband. And so now after that, they go to the wife and says, if you don't recant and renounce Christ, we're going to kill your husband in front of you. And the husband says, no, don't recant. I'm willingly giving my life to Christ. Right in front of her eyes, her husband gets killed. And then to both of them, if you don't recant, we're going to get your 9-month-old baby and kill him, small baby boy. They don't recant. They pick up the baby, two legs, and then slams her head on the wall. Again, I'm sorry to be graphic, but this is real stuff. This is what happens. And so, after which, husband dead, baby dead, pour over paraffin over this lady and fire her up and leave her for dead. They left, and while she is burning, screaming, and shouting, she goes to, she finds a way to get to a water bin and douse herself with water and get rid of the fire. And so, burned up and all, she tried to crawl out of the house, and you know, somebody gets her and helps her and brings her to the hospital. Weeks and weeks and weeks of treatment so that she could be better. And then her missionary director, R.J. Lau, I believe that was the name, speaks to her and said, you know, northern India is very hostile to the gospel. We'll send you south of India so that, you know, you'll be safe and you can just live comfortably there. You know what she said? I don't want to live comfortably. I want to finish the work my husband started in North India. I'm going back to the village. She's there now, and she's preaching the word. And one by one, the people in the village couldn't even believe. Why would you come back? We've tried to kill you. Somehow this testimony has brought the gospel of the kingdom in the hearts, and it's now spreading. You don't see immediate results sometimes, and sometimes it will cost you a lot. Despise not the day of small beginnings. Trust God even if you don't see immediate results. And then finally, keep an eternal perspective. Keep an eternal perspective. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on Jesus, because this life isn't all that there is. And sometimes we get so caught up, don't we? Food on the table, monthly salary, bills to pay, vacation somewhere, I need this new car, payment for this house, I have this house already, I need to buy another one, a vacation house somewhere. No, it's not a bad thing. But understand that this life isn't all that there is. There's something beyond what we see today. Something beyond what we see today. That the kingdom of God will be established, and that the Lord will come as king. You know, I spoke to somebody earlier after the 10 o'clock service. He was on a wheelchair. He has what he would call Pompeii disease, just metabolic illness. He was completely fine before 10 years old. completely fine. And then when that disease hit him, he could no longer, and slowly killing his body, no longer can walk. He was on a wheelchair. Pretty cool wheelchair. It was electronic. It was up and down. So it's just pretty cool. Okay, but just the things that he, you know, I told him, you heard the message, right? Yeah. I said, Jesus is King. And time will come. You're not going to need that wheelchair. Time will come. You're going to need, you're not going to need a breathing machine. Because our earthly bodies may be wasting away every day. But we're being renewed inwardly. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. How come Joseph, Miss Marie, Pastor Joey, they're able to say goodbye to Tito Piping, as hard as it is? His body's wasting away. But you see, our hope is not just in this life. The Bible says if in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if our hope is in this life only, we are to be pitied among all men. We're without, that's not hope. If it's just in this life, that we can have a good stuff and gadgets and houses and cars and nice, if that's all that there is, that's not even what you'd call a hope. But if it's hope that is eternal in a perspective that says, God will establish a kingdom and He is ruler and we will all be together with Him, that's what hope is. Amen. Can we bow our heads and pray? Father, thank you for the only reason we have hope today is because of what was accomplished and done in Calvary. Because, Lord, in and of ourselves, we are absolutely unable to give ourselves hope. We can't, because we don't even know what the future holds. But we can trust you, because though we may not know what the future holds, we know who holds the future. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So Lord, I pray for all of us that you will help us to have an eternal perspective, that though the cares of this world may overwhelm and take over, and though trials and difficult and hardships, Lord, difficult circumstances would come, Lord, there is joy beneath that, because that's why James could say, consider it pure joy when you go through testings and trials, because it'll produce something in the end. Surely it'll build character, but beyond character, there's a hope that we're looking for. We don't have to mess with these things in the future. So Lord, give us a better perspective, an eternal perspective. I pray, Lord, for all of us, Lord, as even as the mustard seed, Lord, help us to plant these seeds of faith, the seeds of the gospel of the kingdom, that one person at a time, whether that's our mom, our dad, our sister, our brother, our office mate, our classmates, Lord, thank you that even as the scripture says, our lives are no longer our own. Therefore, we live our life not for self. We live our life for you, the one who bought us with a price. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I want to just ask, if you're here today and maybe you don't have a perspective of the kingdom because you've never met the King, King Jesus. This King, yes, benevolent and yet powerful, compassionate and yet the Lord of Lords. So if you're here today and you want to surrender your life to this King who is going to restore and establish His kingdom one day, I want you to lift up your hands and I want to pray for you. Those of you who are watching on live stream, you can pray with us as well. Surrender your life to Christ. God bless you. There's several of you raising your hands. Anybody else? Just lift up your hands. Amen. Anybody else? God bless you. Just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that when you died for me, yes, you had me in your mind, but you also had everyone else, subjects of the kingdom, because you're building a kingdom that will never end. Thank you for the forgiveness for my sins, that your death on the cross paid a penalty I could not pay for. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. You paid a debt you did not owe. And so, Lord, thank you for a fresh start. Help me to live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we all stand as we end? Let me just pray for you today as we leave. I want to pray that when you go to your offices, wherever you're going tomorrow, starting the first day of the week, that God will give you eyes of faith and a perspective that this is not all that there is. There's something beyond. Amen. Lord, I just pray for all of us. Thank you for that elevated perspective. And we're not just in a corner waiting to, you know, for the salvation of our souls and so that we can escape hell. But Lord, there's greater things to come. Your dominion, Lord, is spreading and your kingdom is permeating this world. Time will come, Lord. Your rulership is going to be fully established. Thank you, Lord. And I pray, Father, every single day, I know, Lord, that from macro, we will always swing back to micro. But as we swing back to micro, always give us macro perspective. Thank you, Lord. Bless everyone as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, amen, amen. God bless you. See you next week. If you need prayer, our pastors and our Victory Group leaders will be in the front. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download from joeybonifacia.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.